Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, can't make it to your mom's on Mother's Day? Well, you can still deliver a smile with 1-800-Flowers.com right now. 24 multicolored roses, $24, $1 a rose. Just go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and put in my last name, Hannity.
Mr. Trump, your presidency, I love your presidency. I call it disgrace the nation. You're not the POTUS. You're the bloatus. You're the glutton with a button. You're a regular gorge Washington. You're the presidents, but you're turning into a real pricktator. Sir, you attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster. Your presidential library is going to be a kid's menu and a couple of Jugs magazine. The only thing smaller than your hands is your tax returns. And you can take that any way you want.
All right, glad you're with us. Tuesday edition, Sean Hannity Show. The headline on Drudge right now, Colbert unbuckled, firestorm after CBS star turns lewd. You know, I'm listening to all this and I get it. I understand. Team of writers, they get paid. How many writers are on the average late night show? Like 20, 30?
Too many.
I mean, there's a ton of people. Then there are freelancers that send in jokes, et cetera, et cetera. And what's amazing about it, look, and okay, if you're a liberal, you think that's the funniest thing on earth. And all I'm doing is in my head, I'm thinking, and all the president said was, oh, deface the nation, and Colbert acts and feigns outrage, as liberals often and almost always do, and just goes off on the president of the United States in a way, help me out here, except we had the one congressman that said liar, which, by the way, the president wasn't telling the truth, then Obama, but, you know, and it was such a firestorm. Nobody on the left cares. It's like nobody on the left cares about an orchestrated, well-funded, well-organized effort to silence every conservative that supports the president and supports his agenda and agrees with his agenda, people like me. Nobody, they don't care. They're not believers in freedom of speech, nor do they respect the office like they so often claim that they do here. You know, presidents, pricktator, goes on from there. You attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla that got hit in the head. And, you know, and then he finished off with this. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's blank, crude street vernacular analogy holster. Now, by the way, it turns out, now I have to turn to our vernacular expert on the program, which, of course, is Lynn. Well, you know that you curse more than anybody else on the show, right? You know that, I mean, what did you give up for? I like to remind people as often as I can. We'll talk about that later. You grew up in the streets of Philly, right?
Indeed.
Okay. And you drop an F-bomb in that room about every...
As often as possible.
As often as possible. And nobody bats an eyelash except for people like we have a visitor today. And he's probably sitting there saying, oh, my God, right?
He loves it.
Are you a little surprised that I mean, they used to... But
I warned him, and I told him that if he repeated anything he heard, I'd have to find him and kill him. I told him.
Oh, great. That's really going to help my image with a media that's out to destroy me. I have a producer that's out to kill people and threatens people. Oh, you're really helping me
now
out.
Now that you're repeating it, you're making it news.
Oh, I didn't repeat it on the air.
You just repeated it.
I did not. Well, I didn't know you were going to say that. I wasn't in there. I don't hear what goes on in there. I'm in my own room.
That's right.
And
that's
by
why
the way,
we didn't
this
get
is a disclaimer.
Germs.
I am in my own room. I have no responsibility for what anybody on my staff says or does at any given moment in time. This is a disclaimer from the Sean Hannity Show.
In your free time, you work for Matchbox.
All right. So you lived in Philly. Did you say you grew up in a very poor neighborhood?
Indeed, I did.
How poor?
Poor. Blue collar, you know, paycheck to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. Okay. That's, you know, a lot of us grew
like
up
a lot
there.
Of us.
By the way, that's a lot of America today.
Yep.
That's why I care about conservatives. I gave a speech today before a bunch of lawyers. I'll get into that later, too. But half the room hated me. One guy would not shut up. I said, well, you just shut up. You know, we let people hear me speak. I gave him time. ranting and ranting, liar, liar, you know, same nonsense.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, of course. Very serious.
You had a Joe Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. I just kept saying, just shut up. Can I finish? You know, when you get invited to speak, it's your microphone. When you have a radio, TV show and sell books. And
why not just leave the room?
Who, me?
No, him.
Oh, I invited him to leave. I said, if it's bothering you that much, go.
Go. It's a free country. See ya.
I know. Well, anyway, that's for another day. So this slam apparently is creating a, well, firestorm because apparently it's a homophobic slur. Look, I'm going to be honest. I never heard of it before. Stop smiling. Why does that make you laugh?
No, listen, I mean, he took it too far, and he has a very liberal audience, and he should know better. You cannot use things like that, and you cannot act like...
But CBS tapes that show. It's not a live program.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a decision.
That was a decision by CBS.
That was a decision.
So if they wanted to pull that out, they could have pulled it out.
They could have.
And CBS decided not to pull it out.
That's correct.
Now, why do I believe if it was a conservative on
radio? And we know that they can pull things out because they did that for you with your interview and Ted Koppel.
Yeah, that's
I mean, they
point.
Have the aptitude the same, to do it.
The same Tiffany network that did that to me and tried to
chop it up.
They are
actually professionals at pulling things
out.
Yeah,
no, I taped over 50 minutes and they ran whatever period, what was it, a minute and a half or something? A minute and 10 seconds?
It's
minute
ridiculous.
And 7 seconds? So, I mean, you can't win in an environment like that. But, you know, the only question I have is if all of those things were said about President Obama and with the intensity and the anger and the vitriol, you know, would a major network like CBS do it? Now, I think the answer is obviously no. But this is the left unhinged and the double standard. Now, by the way, I'm going to be consistent. I don't want anybody at CBS to boycott. What's his name? Stephen Colbert. I can't watch him. I never thought he was talented. Everyone thought he was talented because he played a alter ego, you know, conservative on cable TV. I guess it was supposed to be after O'Reilly or Papa Bear, as he called him at the time. And I'm like, you know what? It just doesn't do a whole lot for me. And so that's not my brand of humor. He was getting killed until Trump became president. Trump has now made his career or revitalized it temporarily. We'll see how long it lasts. And I guess just part of the evil, angry snowflakes like we saw at the May Day celebrations around the country yesterday that ended up getting violent, and they're just absolutely losing it. All right, we'll get to that. I have run out of adjectives. I really have. And words to describe the Republicans in the House of Representatives. Disappointment doesn't even capture how I feel about many of them, especially the leadership. You know, the fact that we have 1,665 pages, the GOP spending bill for the budget year ending this September 30th, 1,665 pages long, longer than Obama's stimulus bill, includes an average of approximately 210 words per page. And the bill makes approximately 350,000 words long. And as CNS News reported in 2009, Obama's stimulus bill in two PDFs, 24 hours before the House was going to vote on it, one was 575 pages long, the other was 496 pages long, the entire stimulus bill, 1,071 pages. And the pages in the PDF included approximately wording of 430 words per page, making Obama's stimulus law approximately 175,000 words long. And I don't get it. What are they missing? And then I look into the bill and I hear Paul Ryan say, no, we're funding, you know, we're defunding sanctuary cities. No, they're not. The bill allows continued funding of Planned Parenthood. The bill, the president wanted an additional $30 billion in the military. They got $15 billion. They wanted $1.5 billion to continue construction of the southern border. And I know they were out there showing pictures today. Mike Mulvaney was. I'm not blaming the president here. I am blaming Congress, again, incapable of leading. And, you know, as the Heritage Action Analysis pointed out, this omnibus spending package would fund the federal government through September 30th this year. And the bill released 2 a.m. Monday morning. You know, as they pointed out, makes a little progress on some issues, but it woefully fails the test of fiscal responsibility and doesn't advance the important conservative policies. And as every Freedom Caucus member who is opposing this bill is saying is, well, what was the point of just not going along with the Obama budget? Wasn't the idea is to get control of the purse strings and do something? Because now you have the House, the Senate, and a Trump administration. I mean, you know, all right, an additional $30 billion in the military, $1.5 billion continuing the construction of the southern border wall, $18 billion in discretionary cuts. All right, I'll take this stuff. $15 billion extra for defense, $2.5 billion withheld until the administration submits a plan to combat ISIS. All right, that's in the process of being done. But no funding of the border wall, increase in domestic discretionary spending. A combination of emergency funding, overseas contingency operations funds. Good grief. The bill pushes discretionary spending $93 billion above the budget caps that were established in 2011. Now, the president on his own is, again, doing everything he can do. And, you know, Republicans keep saying they're going to fight, give us the House. Going to fight, give us the House and Senate. Going to fight, give us the House, the Senate, and the White House. And what they, you know, what they've done here is they punted once again. Now, the president, to his credit, has been doing all he can on his own, but he can't do everything. And this is where Congress now, either they step up and get something done, or I don't see any use. I don't have any use for these people anymore, with the exception of the Freedom Caucus and some others. Now, good for the president. Now, the president came out today. This obviously annoyed the living hell out of him because he's saying that the government needs a good shutdown if Senate rules don't change. The House is saying, well, the Senate's responsible because this is a reconciliation bill, blah, 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 blah. It's hard to do this in reconciliation. You know, all this is doing is angering their base, and they're saying, guys, you can't even pass health care. By the way, now on Drudge, health care is in jeopardy again this week because they're short votes. Now, we'll ask Mark Meadows and we'll ask Congressman Dave Brad of the Freedom Caucus coming up later in the program. But at some point, you guys got to get your act together and get something done. And stop saying you're going to fight and stand for the promises you made. That is the political success. That's the secret sauce of why Donald Trump is at 48% approval rating and you guys in Congress are at 12%. He's keeping his promises. And, you know, I'm watching the jockeying. You know, Terry McAuliffe wants to be the Democratic candidate in 2020. I wouldn't underestimate him. That guy's going to have more money than you ever thought possible of any presidential candidate, even more than, yeah, Hillary. And trust me, he's thinking about now is running. Him and Andrew Cuomo. That's the only thing on their agenda list. Look how bad it is. Charles Krauthammer said the president got rolled. It wasn't the president as much as it was Congress because they control the spending. They ended up with very little to anything. And the wall didn't get, you know, if the president doesn't get this wall done, that's the equivalent of read my lips, no new taxes. I'll explain more on the other side of this. It's so frustrating. I'm so frustrated.
The president, as you know, tweeted out this morning that looking ahead to fiscal year 18, a shutdown may be just the thing that's needed to clean up this budget mess. Do you agree with him on that? Can you expand on that?
You know, I've been through a couple of shutdowns. Let me answer that question this way. That's a good discussion to have in September. I think the president is frustrated with the fact that he negotiated in good faith with the Democrats and they went out to try and spike the football and make him look bad. And I get that frustration because I think it's a terrible posture for the Democrats to take. If we're sitting here trying to prove to people that Washington is going to be different, that we're going to change things, we can actually figure out a way to work with them, and they do that to this president, listen, I would have taken offense at that. So it doesn't surprise me at all that his frustrations were manifested in that way. We've got a lot to do between now and September. I don't anticipate a shutdown in September, but if negotiations, if the Democrats aren't going to behave any better than they have in the last couple of days, it may be inevitable. You want to follow up on that?
How would a shutdown clean up the mess?
All right, that's Mick Mulvaney. He had a press conference earlier today. They're claiming, and it's so hard when you can't get to the truth, when you've got some conservatives writing me saying it's $15 billion extra in defense, and administration says $21 billion and $2.5 billion contingent on an ISIS strategy. Well, that will happen. That's all good. $600 billion for defense spending. That they're going to be a wall, but they found a way to make it cheaper. Half the cost, concrete instead of concrete and mortar, is going to be 20 feet high. It will cost $8.8 million per mile. Concrete would cost $20 million per mile. I don't care as long as it works. That's my own personal opinion. And saving money is fine. And managing the taxpayer dollars, that's fine with me. And there will be maintenance and a mix of concrete and steel for the most porous areas, and a repair of broken gates. Another couple other good things. Miners in West Virginia will now have health care, which was previously revoked. And there are some pro-life provisions, and they're arguing in the House. But it still spends too much money, and they don't fight for sanctuary cities. They're not out there fighting for the most conservative agenda items or more balanced budget. You know, as I understand, although Paul Ryan refutes this on the issue of Planned Parenthood, saying it's not funded, people are telling me in D.C. it is funded, and that, well, we'll get rid of it through health care, and Tom Price can get rid of that. That seems like you're punting, you know, and kicking the can down the road, as they often do. I like what Trump said, though. It is time for a government shutdown. I just have no faith in Republican Congress anymore. I have lost all confidence in them, sadly. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Not only do you have, Stephen Colbert and this massive firestorm after he gets as lewd as anything I've ever heard from anybody in the media against one person, the president. Well, of course, we had our May Day protests, if you missed this.
We want to make sure that there's not corporations out there supporting the Trump agenda.
We're here marching and being loud and visible because we're not going to go back in the shadows. We're actually going to fight because this is the country we love and we want to make it better.
It just seems like a constitutional right to me that children deserve to have their parents raise them.
We're here in front of a gate that will block buses that deport people from this here sanctuary city of San Francisco.
The Portland police advise family and children to leave the area expeditiously. Persons involved in violent activity are subject to arrest for disorderly conduct in the second degree, assault of a public safety officer, and other state and city offenses.
To be a joke, I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fix this right now. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance.
Yes, the snowflakes back out in full form. You know, there is a collective meltdown in the country by the left in 100 different ways. It is unlike, I think, anything I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us and be a part of this extravaganza. So 25 arrested in this May Day riot. And, why? They look like professional protesters, rioters to me, the way some of these people were dressed. And anyway, this is in Portland, Oregon, and 25 people arrested after they said anarchists. We saw them starting fires, destroying property, and throwing homemade explosives at law enforcement and Molotov cocktails and rioters tossing fireworks and rocks at the police officers, and three minors were among the 25 arrested. All three teens are facing riot charges. The remaining suspects could face second-degree disorderly conduct. You notice we never do this when this happens in Baltimore or this happens in Ferguson. We never take the video evidence footage and identify every person responsible for looting or creating this chaos. We never do anything. You know, police confiscated multiple homemade shields before the marchers even began. After the march began, police say agitators were throwing the rocks at cops. Who could pick up a rock and throw it at a cop? Wouldn't the cop have a right to go home to his family without having a rock thrown on him because you don't like that your candidate lost the presidency? Pretty sick. I mean, on a level that is hard to describe. None of this is going to change. The left is unhinged. Anyway, I will say this, in spite of the horrific weakness of the Republicans, fecklessness, visionless, ill-prepared to lead, you know, we've got an overwhelming majority of Republicans in the Congress, you know, tremble at the mere words government shutdown. I will say it is refreshing. The president has now publicly dared the Democrats to go ahead and shut it down and make his day. And he said the U.S. needs a good shutdown and it should happen this fall and either elect more Republican senators in 2018 or change the rules now to 51%, or the country needs a good shutdown. To change the rule. Democrats don't play by the same rules as Republicans. They never have. They never will. They're never going to do it. By the way, of course, a lot of the left-wing lunatics, they're all wrapped up in their crazy Russia-Trump campaign conspiracy theories. Hillary's out there again, and apparently the vast right-wing conspiracy is so big it includes Vladimir Putin and James Comey, because Hillary Clinton spoke out on the results of Election Day, describing Russian influence in the 2016 race very much a part of the political landscape. Do you have any evidence, Hillary? Any? Anybody in the media? This is now NBC's obsession. You know, it doesn't matter if there's news or no news, they're obsessing. Their obsession continues. Sean Spicer, according to Talking Points memo, contradicting claims from other officials earlier today that, in fact, they had a deal to pass health care and the votes to pass it. Sean Spicer said, well, we're not there yet. We'll ask Mark Meadows and David Brad at the top of the hour. Spicer, responding to a report, was asked if the effort was a handful of votes away. And is this close to maybe getting to the magic number that we've talked about? He said, well, sure, once we get to 216, we'll stop counting. I don't know if that's a good idea. You need a little more. You need a little cushion in life. I think the speaker gets that. But as I mentioned, we're getting closer and closer every day. So I would assume today we're a little closer than we were a week ago. Oh, how did they ever get this mess? It's unbelievable. Now, here's the sad part about Republicans in the House and the lack of leadership. Here's the pathetic part of this. Democrats are loving. And by the way, they are out there spiking the football. Oh, President Trump got rolled. I mean, that's what they're saying. It's not President Trump. It's the Republican Congress that has an inordinate fear of a government shutdown, whether Obama's president or Trump is president. And that's where their problem lies. And Congress is testing Trump's patience. He's getting rightly pissed. So he's allowing this fight on the budget to go forward, which is I don't know why they wouldn't fight. Why wouldn't they fight here and get rid of everything? Why weren't they prepared to repeal and replace Obamacare? When are they ever going to fight? Because it's always down the road. Give us the House. We'll fight that. Give us the Senate. We'll fight that. All right, but they gave us a bunch of show votes, but they didn't fight. They didn't fight like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Marco Rubio were willing to fight and use the power of the purse. You know, so here's the Washington Post is pointing out that Democrats feel emboldened now. They sense Republicans are weak, and they're right. That's the saddest commentary I have. Not the president, but Republicans in Congress are weak. And the whole Washington Post article is about how they're counting on Republican infighting by the Republican differing factions to allow them, Republicans themselves, to torpedo the Trump agenda. Well, they're also torpedoing their own careers. And they're putting in jeopardy the potential that Democrats can win back even the Senate in a year that they should lose a bunch of seats. That's how dumb they are. Because if they would take a courageous stand and just all they needed to do is fulfill their promises, follow Trump's example. If they would only do that, then that's good politics for them. Then they won't have to be so fearful all the time of losing their jobs, because it's really about them, their jobs, being called congressman, senator, the governor. You know, it's disgusting. What about standing up for the people of this country? Anyway, the Democrats, they're bragging they've got a victory on this five-month deal. All right, it's a five-month deal. So Trump punted on a five-month deal in the hopes that he can get health care done, get his tax bill done, get his economic plan in place. But that doesn't excuse the Republicans for not being ready. And the Republicans are divided. And Paul Ryan has no sense of urgency. And Paul Ryan didn't show anybody the health care bill, didn't build consensus, didn't do his job. Vice President Pence credited the president with a key role in the spending deal, but many congressional aides say the president was unhelpful in reaching the agreement. Schumer, I think we had a strategy and it worked. Really? You're going to let Chuck Schumer brag he beat the Republicans when they have a majority in the House and the Senate and the White House? He talks about extra money for domestic programs because they were afraid to fight. They were afraid they were going to get blamed for a government shutdown. You know, crocodile tears Schumer. So after ditching Obamacare, major health insurers are suddenly profitable, by the way. Major insurance providers earn $2.71 a share, smoking analysts' initial estimates, according to the Daily Caller. Health insurer Aetna adjusted a quarterly profit, reported an adjusted quarterly profit today, well above expectations. Aetna pulled out of 11 Obamacare exchanges in 2017, announced in April that they would exit Iowa's Obamacare insurance market in 2018. Company offers plans on four exchanges, in exchanges in four states in 2017, Delaware, Iowa, Virginia, Nebraska. It's now evaluating their positions in each of the remaining states to see whether or not it's profitable to do business. They're not going to do business if they can't make money. I know, profit, horrible word. It's a bad thing. Top House Republican announces opposition to Obamacare replacement bill. Isn't this so nice? Former House Republican committee chair announcing his opposition because he says it doesn't offer enough protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Okay. Fred Upton, former House Energy and Commerce chairman, told the GOP leadership he can't support the revised bill. That now defection is number 22, the number of GOP no votes on the revised health care bill. One more Republican no will kill the measure. And they don't have yeses on everybody else. Great job. Really good job. Real great consensus building. You know, this is do or die now. This is it. This is your chance. Anyway, in a bid to reach out to Democrats who voted for Trump, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, is now blasting the Obama economic record. She was interviewed by The Guardian, and she said many Americans left behind. That was my whole speech today, why Obama lost. And it's funny, I don't think the liberals in the room heard anything like this in their life before. The GOP is also, one good thing, they are freezing IRS funding. All right, there's hope. Maybe they'll stop coming after me, for one. Save a lot of money there because I pay my taxes. Why do I suspect that's not going to happen? There was a phone call. Hillary, I told you, blamed the Comey-Putin conspiracy for her defeat. But there was a phone call today between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. The call covered Syria, ISIS, North Korea. And they said the conversation between Vladimir and the president was productive. And they spoke regarding Syria, discussed at length about working together to eradicate terrorism throughout the Middle East. call was the first conversation between the two leaders since Russia's condemnation in April of this missile strike in that Syria airfield, the 59 Tomahawk missiles. Apparently they agreed that the suffering in Syria has gone on too long. All parties must do all they can to end the violence. And they spoke about how to best resolve the very dangerous situation in North Korea. And that is the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. But are Republicans ever going to fight? I don't know. Let's go to our busy telephones here. Bill is in Illinois. Bill, hi. How are you? And we're glad you called, sir.
Thanks, Sean. You're way too young a gentleman to be that jaded, sir. I'm still optimistic about things. The Dow's up, the military morale is great, and things are working out around the world. What the Republican Congress does is really in their court now. That's what midterm elections are all about.
Well, but from my perspective, this is what they asked for, and they asked for the chance, they got it, and they can't get their act together.
Well, that's true, but in the long run, they will pay the price for that. I don't think the president will take the hit on it. The other thing, sir.
Well, let me tell you why the president will take a hit. You think if Nancy Pelosi is speaker, that he's not in jeopardy of impeachment? These people are off the hook, unhinged.
This is true, but I keep thinking that the number 306 should be on a bumper sticker now. And people, I contrast what we saw in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, compared to what you saw at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I mean, the stark contrast of the optimism in Harrisburg, I think that's reason to be optimistic. The fact that journalism is dead, I know I've heard you say that many times. I think journalism has been supplanted by entertainment, and it really falls to each one of us as loyal Americans to decide what product we're going to partake of and let the rest of the trivia just fall away.
Well, there's opinion journalism, and then there's, which I do, advocacy journalism, a talk show host, versus those that are supposed to be fair and balanced, and they're not fair and balanced. And they're doing everything they can do to undermine the president. Look at this White House Correspondents' Dinner the other night. I mean, does that not tell it all? All right, I got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll check in with Dave Bratt, Mark Meadows, Freedom Caucus. We'll get an update on health care, an update on Paul Ryan, and what the hell are they doing with this budget and this continuing resolution for the next 5 months. And are they going to get their act together? Not those guys, but meaning the House leadership.
I feel very good about the wins that we got with the administration in this bill. Under the Obama rules, if you wanted to help the military, if you wanted a pay raise for the soldiers, if you wanted to buy new airplanes and new ships and more munitions, a dollar for that, you had to have a dollar domestic spending. We just broke that parity. That's the biggest victory we could have had. $25 billion year over year for our military to begin to rebuild our military without that kind of corresponding increase in domestic discretionary spending. So that, to me, is very important. But look at the other conservative wins we have in here. Our pro-life riders preserved. School choice advanced. We're fixing things like forest fires and the disasters that we have. And we're giving the Border Patrol the kind of increases they need. We knew we needed a big down payment on border security. We knew that with a 5-month bill, the wall is really more about next year, and that fight's going to be this summer. But we wanted to get the administration a really good down payment on border security. And that's why this bill has the biggest increase in border security funding in 10 years. So we think these are really good wins. I know that there's a PR machine that the Democrats are pushing. I'd say don't look at the press releases, look at the bill. And when you look at the bill, there's a lot of good conservative wins here. But chief among them are the president's two highest priorities: support our military and get border security, get a down payment on border security, and this delivers that.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood is not funded. But let me just say a couple of things. And look at what all our pro-life groups are saying. They're saying the Planned Parenthood legislation needs to be in the reconciliation bill as it is, because that's how you get it into law. We always knew that it takes 60 votes to pass an appropriation bill through the Senate. This bill does not have funding for Planned Parenthood. That's important. The reconciliation bill advances the pro-life cause even further. So no Planned Parenthood funding in here. And by the way, Tom Price is now the person who approves grants that go out to the states. So we feel very comfortable that we are working hand in glove with an administration to advance our pro-life priorities.
How do you feel about this CR? Do you like what's in it? What's not in it?
No, I mean, look, money goes to Planned Parenthood.
Senate, as you said, money continues to go to sanctuary cities, but no money for the border wall. I think you're going to see a lot of conservatives be against this this plan this week.
Why did we
last fall do a short-term spending bill if we weren't going to actually fight for the things we told the voters we were going to fight for? So we'd have been, I mean, if this is the deal we're going to get, it seems to me we should have just did the bill for the whole year. But we specifically held the vote for, we did a short-term spending bill for this time so that when Republicans control the government, we could actually do the things we campaigned on. This bill doesn't seem to do that. Plus, it maintains, Chris, this idea that for every new dollar you spend in defense money, you got to give the Democrats more money in non-defense. That's, again, not what we campaigned on. So I'm disappointed. We'll see how it plays out this week. But I think you're going to see conservatives have some real concerns with this legislation.
So how did it happen? You do see the Democrats coming out and hailing it. You did not hear from the Republicans yet, McConnell or Ryan. So what happened?
Yeah, I wish we'd have pushed harder on the issues I just talked about. I really do.
And
I think the American people would. Well, I mean, there's always this shutdown concern. I do think that the White House feels like they can do some good things on the border without the specific funding for the wall. I've talked to Budget Director Mulvaney about that issue in particular. And there is another budget in the whole appropriation process for fiscal 2018 coming up. But we should have fought now, because that's, again, I always say this. I've said this on your show before. We make this job too complicated. Our job is to do what we told the voters we were going to do. We told them we had did a short-term spending bill that was going to come due at the end of April so that we could fight on these very issues, and now it looks like we're not going to do that. I think that's a problem.
All right, there you have conflicting views on what this, well, continuing resolution is to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year, and that is September the 30th. What's actually in it, what's not in it. Now, the president, I think, in many ways is telegraphing he's not happy, as he says the U.S. government needs a good shutdown if Senate rules don't change, suggesting that would happen in September. You just heard Paul Ryan say, well, there is no funding for Planned Parenthood. I have, well, reports that there is funding for Planned Parenthood and sanctuary cities and the refugee resettlement program and only a $15 billion increase for defense and no border wall security money as of now. And I just, you know, you hear one thing from him, you hear one thing from Congress, you read the language, it's what, 1,665 pages, you know, the GOP spending bill. Longer than the Obama stimulus bill. Joining us now from the Freedom Caucus, one of those you just heard from, Jim Jordan, but he's not here with us today. Mark Meadows is the chairman, and Dave Bratt, Congressman Virginia, and Congressman Meadows from North Carolina. Congressman, who do I believe here?
Well, I can tell you, Sean, that it's a big disappointment to most conservatives. I think it's a big disappointment to the president as well. The frustration that he's expressing about having to change the Senate rules to make it 51 votes. I think the vast majority of the American people believe it. If we've got control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, and this is the best we can do, shame on us. I had a Democrat colleague today saying, man, we kicked your tail in this whole negotiation over the CR. That's tough to take when you have the majority in every single place.
I just don't get it. I mean, you know, and I think Jim Jordan was making a good point, Congressman Brad, and that is, you know, the whole idea of not funding the government through the entire year last year was the hopes that you'd be able to change all of this and fight for these things. And once again, this inordinate fear of getting blamed for a government shutdown kicks in.
Yeah, no, you got it right. And the base is just fuming on this. I mean, I think the key thing is the base has been waiting 6 years, and now everybody is expecting that this is a once-in-a-century opportunity for some major wins. So, okay, we got a little bit more defense funding, and, you know, there's some okay things in it. But the overarching piece that's missing is, where's the Trump agenda? Right, Trump ran, and the border wall and cleaning the swamp is kind of the key centerpiece of the Trump agenda. And where is it? So the bill continues to funding refugee resettlement from the six countries, which Trump wanted to suspend immediate immigration, despite being this budget was the last recourse against the judicial tyranny in that respect. Sanctuary cities are funded, Planned Parenthood, EPA, bailout for Puerto Rico, HHS, green programs, federal judiciary stuff. But basically just it's the Trump agenda that's missing. He ran, he popped four new states open through the Midwest, and the swamp that wants cheap labor, et cetera, anything that has to do with cronies, we're losing on, right?
My question is, so the president outlined his economic plan. When does that ever get done?
Well, Sean, I think it's not only got to get done right away, but you know the president. I know the president well. He's not going to take this lying down. I can tell you that having conversations with the White House, even in the last 24 hours, this is not something that is setting well with him, nor is it something that is setting well with conservatives. Let me read you real quickly. I got an email from a guy that's back home, not an ultra-conservative, but he says, I need to ask you the question that I asked once before. When are conservatives going to start to win? And you know, we've got a winner in the White House, and it's time that we put forth.
So this
our,
really,
our
so my instincts are is right that the Congress again, the leadership in the House is not prepared to take a stand and lead on the things that they promised.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, that is the key, right? And when you signal that you're not going to, when you tell the Democrats and Schumer, who's just gloating today, like Mark said, when you say you're not going to shut down 2 months ahead of time, you've already told them. I mean, it's like Trump foreign policy, right? He's smart. You don't tell your enemy what you're going to do ahead of time. Well, if you tell Democrats you're not going to shut down, that's too much information, right? And you tell Mitch McConnell you're not going to shut down. So we've got to end this same stalemate every single year. We give up. We wave the white flag when we own all branches of government. And the people back home are not happy about this. I'm getting overwhelming responses on this. It outpaces anything we've ever seen in the office. I hear the outrage over what's not in here, just all the symbolic pieces we wanted to see as conservatives going forward that are missing. And so it's not that our, you know, the appropriations, a lot of it was done last year. So we get that. And Trump, President Trump, it needs to lead this charge and show us the way, what he wants to do. We're happy to support him, but we want him to take a lead and say, hey, this is not acceptable. Which pieces does he want to see and lay it out for all the nation to hear? And he needs to take the lead on messaging as well. Coming up on the tax plan, exactly what does he want to see so we can all support him so we make sure we ignite the economy like you just mentioned.
Well, now there's a headline and been up there all day, health care wreck again. As if you, Congressman Meadows, and Congressman Brad, and Jim Jordan, and the entire Freedom Caucus haven't been working your, you know, tails off on this. And I don't know where Speaker Ryan's been, but I heard you got the deal done because you reached out to the Tuesday group and the study group and the moderates and the Saturday night drinking group that you guys have. But that's a joke.
I'll take it that way. Let me just say this, Sean. I believe that we get health care done this week. We've got to get it done this week. And, yeah, the headlines are not good, and some of the members moving to no is not good. But I can tell you the vote count today is so incredibly close. We are closer than we've ever been, even when the bill was pulled
back. How many votes short are you?
I think we're literally single digits at this point. And so, there are some that are undecided that we've got to work with. I'm going from a meeting literally right after I finish talking with you to hopefully get two or three more yeses, and I think you'll see a vote this week. We've got to deliver on behalf of the American people on the promise that the president made. And let me give one other real quick thing. The president put forth a conservative budget. Director Mick Mulvaney put out that budget. What we just appropriated seemed to go just contrary to everything that the president put out. And so we have got to make sure that our appropriators are in lockstep with the budget that is a conservative budget that delivers on the promise.
Well, when does that budget get worked on?
Well, we're working on it now. You know, Dave Brad is on the budget committee.
Is this something that won't happen till, you know, doesn't take effect till October 1?
Well, the new budget wouldn't take effect into that, but here's what we have to do.
All right,
sure.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
All right, we'll continue more with Mark Meadows and more with Dave Brat. All right, as we continue, we have Freedom Caucus members, Mark Meadows, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, and Dave Brat, who is a congressman, Freedom Caucus member from the great Commonwealth of Virginia. All right, so I want to understand this. $1.1 trillion. We even have more potential spending visas. We don't have money for the wall, and we pay and continue sanctuary cities. Now, Paul Ryan said the bill does not fund Planned Parenthood. Does it or not?
Well, it does. Here's part of that is when they start looking at different things, a lot of the Planned Parenthood funding happens in what they call mandatory spending, and so this budget is actually more on the non-mandatory side. But until we repeal it and the Affordable Care Act repeal and replace effort, we're going to continue to fund Planned Parenthood. And that's a real problem for conservative voters. But it's not just that. It's the border wall. It's the fact that build the wall was a chant that was heard across this country, and yet there are no dollars in there to start building the wall. And at this point, we've got to deliver, Sean. That's what the American people want. That's what President Trump has promised. And Congress has to help this president out to do just that.
Yeah. Congressman Brett, I just don't understand it. I don't understand. Give us the House and Senate. Give us the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They get everything they want. And then literally, you know, they just never seem willing or able or capable of fighting. What is the thought process here? I don't get why are they even there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have been covering it all year, and Rush Limbaugh went off yesterday for a half hour. I read some of his stuff. And it's not really even the party, the Democrat Party, Republican Party, leadership. It's the special interests up here that have just a monopoly chokehold on this city. And so when you go through I call it the giant Excel spreadsheet in the sky, and all the commitments the Democrats make to the special interests and that we have to our own guys, and some of it's good and some of it's got to change. But we're locked into a budget already, right? I mean, we're spending $4 trillion and only bringing in $3.4 trillion. So last year we had a $600 billion deficit before Trump won. And so when Trump comes in, the whole country said, okay, now you guys got total control. Let's get this debt and deficit thing under control now. And let's at least hear your message and say it.
I
think we're doing that.
There's an article out today that Republicans, just like with the health care bill that nobody saw and no consensus was built, McClatchy has an article out today that basically talks about a Republican civil war, and their headline, I think, says it all. As Trump budget plan fades, Republicans brace for war with each other.
Yeah, I don't think that a war with each other is what the American people want. It's certainly not what I want. But I think the other part of that is that it's time that we actually start the conversations in earnest. I can tell you that we have Gary Cohn and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin coming in tomorrow to talk to members of the Freedom Caucus about tax reform, because what we're going to do is work with them to help a bill that actually supports the president's principles that everybody is part of early on. And that way we're not rolling it out, reading about it in the media and trying to figure it out, but that we're all together. And I think we hopefully have learned a very valuable lesson. It's time that we work together and deliver.
Guys, I'm just stunned. I mean, and I think my audience is stunned, and everybody that voted for the president is stunned. He has the right idea to fight, and why there's no fight in the Republican Congress. I'm getting very close to saying we need a new Republican leadership. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I just don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, well, hey, Sean, I know you have been great throughout the last couple of years. I always see the list you put up, and I ran in Virginia on the 6 Republican principles. And we're all Republicans, right? We get along with each other personally. But what's missing, and maybe you can help lead the nation on this as well, because you got a bully pulpit like no one else. But what, you know, when it comes to the tax package, the cheap outcome should be 4% economic growth.
All right, I got to roll, but we'll stay in touch with you guys and see if we can get this mess, you know, worked out over time. And thank you both for being with us, Mark Meadows and Dave Brat. We have a lot more to get to on this busy news edition of the Sean Hannity Show. Our friend Ami Horowitz, I think he's chomping at the bit to get on the program. He's going to be with us today. News Roundup, Information Overload. We'll get to your calls next. I'm just reading all my email. Everyone's angry, and I don't blame you. We'll continue.
I see everything as an opportunity, and I've never seen so much willingness to help win. And winning means winning for the American people, that either we win or whoever wins understands the priorities of the American people. And they are not what President Bush,
President.
I'm so sorry, President Bush. I never thought I'd pray for the day that you were president again.
He is not governing from the middle. He's governing from the hard right. That's why his regime has had hardly any major successes, with the exception of Gorsuch. If he changes, we could work together.
Okay,
but he can't just dictate what he wants, not talk to us and say you must support it. Country doesn't work my way or the highway.
And so you would do your best to hold the seat open?
Absolutely.
We are the party of opposition, and that is our job.
It gets to a point where they're just not doing their job.
I did not hear better ideas coming out of the Democrats.
Right.
They were just delaying, and they were saying this is just wrong.
You would not sit down with President-elect Trump if he invited you to the White House?
Oh, no. I won't go. I'm not going to sit down with him. I'm not going to go.
Each new president coming into office was allowed to get his cabinet in place. Donald Trump deserves the same.
The party of Pelosi is trying to block every initiative President Trump wants to institute. But will that backfire?
I mean, he's projecting.
But what could you work with on with the President Trump?
Well, first of all, we're not working with anybody who says we're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know, I don't even know what to make of this derangement syndrome. I talked about this today, Trump derangement syndrome, in a speech I gave amongst a bunch of liberal lawyers, or half of the crowd was liberal. And I'm like trying to explain, you don't get it, why Trump won. And you were like the media. It was like a funeral on November 8th if you were watching TV. It's going to be studied, the level of depression that exists in the media for all of these years. I've never seen people as unhinged as they are now, both in Washington and around the country. I mean, really, did you see the professional protesters geared up, busting windows, you know, saying the most vile, vicious things and trying to hurt the police and ruin their cars? And I mean, it was a riot. And then the police have to come in and, you know, then these guys think they're really smart asses, and they try and, I guess, rekindle. Who was it? The Kendall Jenner with the Pepsi can, where she hands the cop a Pepsi. Oh, that was horrible. Really? You think most cops are bad? Anyway, you know, watch Stephen Colbert last night.
There you go. But I got to say, walking out in the middle of a sentence wasn't even the president's biggest insult to John Dickerson.
And I think actually I've been very consistent. You know, it's very funny when the fake media goes out, you know, which we call the mainstream media, which sometimes I must say is you. But when the
you
fake
mean me personally or
your show, I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation.
Really? Donald Trump, John Dickerson is a fair-minded journalist and one of the most competent people who will ever walk into your office. And you treat him like that? Now, John Dickerson has way too much dignity to trade insults with the President of the United States to his face. But I, sir, am no John Dickerson. And when you, okay, all right, let me introduce you to something we call the Tiffany Way. When you insult one member of the CBS family, you insult us all. Bazinga. All right? Here we go. All right? Get the gloves off. Mr. Trump, your presidency, I love your presidency. I call it Disgrace the Nation. You're not the POTUS. You're the bloatus. You're the glutton with the button. You're a regular gorge, Washington. You're the president, but you're turning into a real pricktator. Sir, you attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster. Your presidential library is going to be a kid's menu and a couple of Jugs magazine. The only thing smaller than your hands is your tax returns. And you can take that any way you want.
All right, so let's go through the insults. And, okay, Deface the Nation was so awful to the poor Tiffany Network. Disgrace the Nation. You're a president. You're turning into a real pricktator. His words, obviously, not mine. And then it goes on from there. Sir, you attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla that got hit in the head. And then he finished off, you know, with, in fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's, well, street vernacular for a male body part holster, which elicited gasps from even his left-wing audience. And, you know, but one of the things that has now happened, now, Linda, you're going to have to explain because you're the expert in street vernacular for me.
Anything I can do to help you.
All right. So, all right. For most people, they don't understand what that means. And I didn't. And you explained it to me. I'm like, ooh, that's bad because I guess apparently it is a homophobic slur and there's a lot of anger and a lot of pushback and a firestorm. What's going on?
Would you like me to explain?
The street vernacular and why this
is? I'm just making sure. You know, sometimes I don't want to abuse my mic privileges with my street vernacular. So since we're going there, let's go there. You know, Colbert offended his liberal PC friends because he's supposed to have a lot of friends in all communities and love everyone equally. And he seems to have a little bit of offense of thinking of two men sharing a moment. And he enlightened us all with his deep thoughts on that when he thought of Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, and our president, if they were to share that moment. And he insulted a lot of the gay community. And I think he should apologize.
Well, it's interesting. Some people are wondering whether he'll get suspended. Some people are wondering whether or not there'll be a boycott. Some people are wondering whether or not he'll get fired. And I'm going to be consistent, like I've been with Bill Maher. I don't care what Stephen Colbert says. And Stephen Colbert ought not be boycotted.
You know what'll be interesting to see here is if the UC Berkeley protesters are as outraged by Stephen Colbert as they were about what they thought Ann Coulter would say. Since Ann Coulter wasn't allowed to express her First Amendment rights, they just assumed what she was going to say. So since he's already said it, let's see what the reaction
is. You see, but liberals can say these things because he said it in the context of attacking and abusing a conservative president or a Republican president.
Sure, they're driven by their mutual hate.
Unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
We're going to bring you in once an hour for the street vernacular portion of the program because you want to explain why you know so much about street vernacular?
Why don't you explain it?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a lovely neighborhood.
Of all my team in radio and TV, who cusses the most by far?
That's me, for sure.
For sure. And when we have guests in the studio, what do I always warn them?
I mean, we have guests in the studio today, and I think they have been enlightened.
By your words.
By my street vernacular.
And you use these words every single day.
Well, you know, I can't use them at home anymore because I have a baby. So I have to get it all out of my system here.
Okay,
so I can go home and
what did you give up? What did you give up for Lent this year?
Which is, I gave up cursing, but it really didn't go that well.
And what was the first day of Lent? What happened on the first day of Lent?
The first day of Lent, I was like, I already failed Jesus within the first 30 seconds of giving up cursing. It was terrible.
And then what did I say to you? I suggested what? I suggested that you maybe ought to pick something that you're capable of doing.
Pick something else easier that you can actually do. You can't do that. You know better.
Oh, so that's why you're. So then it's not a question why I have chosen you on the team to be our street vernacular expert.
I am a street vernacular expert, and I take that title with pride.
Okay.
Gotten me very far and through a lot of fights on the subway.
All right. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. Paula in Kyle, Texas, next on the Sean Hannity Show. Paula, how are you? And we're glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thank you. First off, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for being our voice.
Oh, thank you.
Of the forgotten fuel here.
No, we're not forgotten, and we're fighting. we're fighting.
Because of you.
Well, I appreciate
it. Because of our votes. I was so disgusted about this budget.
Ugh.
I just want these Republicans to get on board and realize that 2018 is around the corner.
Yeah, listen, I this is why, for example, if I was the Republican Party, if I was Reince Priebus, the chief of staff, if I'm Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and I saw what happened in Georgia's 6th District. Now, granted, you had 12, 13, whatever, how many Republicans running, but the guy still got the Democrat, nobody, no name, although they did give him a lot of money and a lot of ads and a lot of propaganda. But he still got 48% of the vote, and if he got over 50, there wouldn't have been a runoff, and this is Newt Gingrich's old seat. They ought to take that as a wake-up call for Congress to get their act together.
You would think. All right. I mean, it's from the very beginning, it was Trump, and they need to get on board with his agenda because that's what we voted in.
I'll be honest. If they can't get health care done this week, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm running out of words. I'm running out of angst. And I'm beginning to think that we might need somebody new to step in and take over there. If they can't get the job done, you know, let's get somebody in there that can. All right, 800, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Paul. 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. All right, listen, we all have moms. Your moms love you. Your moms put up with everything that they have to put up with all of us. All right, back to our busy telephones. A preview of the president actually meeting with Mahmoud Abbas from the Palestinian Authority. Remember, they reward terrorists and their families as a matter of law if they kill Israelis and Americans and commit acts of terror. Hopefully the president will call him out on all of that. All right, in the meantime, let's get to our busy phones as we say hi to Pam in Virginia. Pam, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hannity. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to just, I guess, vent. I am just so furious at, and I listened to you say that Trump, you have to move at the speed of Trump. Certainly no one in the government has caught up with him. And it is a shame that the Republicans do not move and do not back him and do not stand up and look at the Democrats and go, no, we were voted in for a reason. We're going to take this bull by the horn, and we're going to lead America back to the point where she was. He said, make America great again, and Congress, especially the Republicans, need to get behind him and move. His first 100 days have been amazing if you look at it point by point by point by point. And the press is looking at it, yeah, but look at what he didn't do, and he said he was going to do. And, of course, they're spinning it totally around, and it's what he did, and it's negative, 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 negative. And it just appalls me, as all of us should be Americans first and concerned about America first. And the Democrats have pigeonholed everybody and put everybody in front of the hardworking American, and it is sickening. It is just
I don't understand where there's not a sense of urgency to do this for the American people because they promised it.
Exactly, exactly.
All right,
and
thank
Trump
you, Pam.
Is moving so fast, and
it's amazing. It's just go ahead, finish your last word.
My dad was the president of the largest union, independent union in the United States, and was a Republican. But he taught us to be fair first and American first.
Well, that you would think. That is what the criteria is. Sometimes it's not. All right, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to join us, let us say hi to Kim in York, PA. What's up, Kim? How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. It was very nice to be able to speak to you. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time, and I love your show. Keep up the great work. And I was at President Trump's rally on Saturday, and it was outstanding. There's a whole lot of people that were there for him, and I just glad he's our president, but the Republicans have got to get their act together as soon as possible.
Oh, my God. If they don't get their act together soon, I'm going to break a blood vessel in my brain, which probably would make liberals happy, especially, you know, liberal fascists that want to silence me anyway, or media fascists that hate my guts. But in all seriousness, go fight for crying out loud. Do something.
Right. I mean, I have called the congressmen all through PA. I've even called the ones in Texas and Virginia and everything. It left my message, especially with this Obamacare, because this Obamacare is destroying the medical field, and that's what they want to do. And the Republicans can't seem to open their eyes up to it or don't care.
They're not doing what they promised. It's that simple. All right, Kim, thank you. Great call. News roundup, information overload. Will the president lecture Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority tomorrow? We debate that next, and we'll tell you why he should be lecturing him.
Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been raging for decades, with both sides accusing each other of being the prime problem. But no accusation has stuck more readily as being at the core of the conflict as the Israeli occupation and supposed total control of the West Bank, including Israel's stealing of Palestinian dignity on a daily basis. So I decided to go to the Palestinian territory to find out what is really going on. During filming at the Kalandia checkpoint, the crossing came under assault by slingshot-wielding attackers flinging fist-sized rocks that exploded around us and slammed into the Palestinian cars and pedestrians in line to cross into Israel. The attackers were on hillsides overlooking the checkpoint in a coordinated assault that was apparently not uncommon. The border guards reacted to try to protect the Palestinian civilians from the attack and continued to keep the checkpoint open in order not to create greater hardship for those trying to enter into Israel. With chaos breaking out around us, the attackers amped up the violence by starting fires in the surrounding town of Kalandia. The smoke and heat were intense. At one point, a Palestinian child was hit by a rock, fracturing his leg.
Kid! I simply couldn't sit on the sidelines and watch.
What's up?
All right, that, you know, all of us have crazy friends. That was my crazy friend, Ami Horowitz, who I'll introduce in a second. News Roundup and Information Overload Hour, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, so tomorrow, the president will meet the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas. Now, that video, now audio that you heard, that was Ami Horowitz visiting the Palestinians and actually members of Hamas. You may remember a series of videos he had where he went and traveled and blended in with the refugee population. I think it was in Germany at the time and different places, Syria, some of the Syrian refugees. Anyway, so Trump and Abbas are meeting, and as we've been pointing out, well, we give hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Palestinian Authority every year. And they, as a matter of law, will reward some terrorists and murderers and killers of Israelis and Americans. It's a matter of law. They'll either pay them individually or they'll pay their families. Now, Trump has desired, the president has desired, to negotiate a peace deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And then he also talked about moving the U.S. embassy to Israel from Tel Aviv, said he would be happy with a two-state solution. And, okay, isn't a prerequisite that the Palestinian Authority and Abbas, who recently talked about, you know, dripping blood of Jews, that he has to recognize, A, Israel's right to exist, B, change the law that stops paying terrorists for killing Israelis and Americans, and express a real desire by example to be a part of the world community? Ami Horowitz is with us, political documentarian, and he's here to discuss his tape when he actually infiltrated Hamas. David Brog is the author of Reclaiming Israel's History, Rights, Roots, Rights, and Struggle for Peace. You know, you're my crazy friend. Everybody has a crazy friend. You're my crazy friend. You're one of my crazy friends.
I take that as a compliment.
No, I mean, well, you've infiltrated the refugee population. Mm-hmm. Nearly got the crap beat out of you. What was that one about?
That was the refugee crisis in Sweden.
Yeah, remember that? They started beating you up.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, you got to learn how to fight. If you're going to put yourself in these ridiculous, unsafe situations because you're insane, you know, you might want to learn how to fight first.
Asked you to teach me, and you keep looking at me. I'm not going to waste my time on you.
It's not a matter of wasting my time. I've been training for 5 years, and it's going to take me more than 5 years to get you up to speed where I am.
Fair enough.
All right, so what happened when you infiltrated Hamas? And by the way, their charter calls for the destruction of Israel.
Yes. So I think what's important to note about this trip that Abbas is taking to visit with Trump is, who does he actually represent? Does he represent the Palestinian people? I'm not sure that he does. Because Hamas, first of all, controls all of Gaza, as we all know, but they're also increasingly taking control of parts of the West Bank. And that's why Abbas has pushed back the municipal elections for months, because they're scared of that. So the truth is, I think it's really Hamas who represents most of the Palestinian people. So I wanted to go meet with them and see exactly what they're about.
Well, we know Hezbollah is funded by Iran.
Correct.
But also Iran kind of puts aside this whole Shia-Sunni divide when it comes to killing Jews and attacking Israel.
That's right. So that this whole idea of they don't get along, that's true. But while Israel is the small devil, let's not forget, though, who they really after? They're after us. They're after the United States.
Well,
that's the big devil.
That's what Bibi, his analogy all the time. We're the great Satan and they're the little Satan.
That's exactly right.
All right, David Brog, welcome to the program. I'm a little frustrated because basically I feel that Abbas is a terrorist. Now, I do have faith in President Trump. He has no problem calling people out. And I think that the president is making it very clear that he's going to basically say to Abbas, okay, if you want money, you better change your laws. You don't get to reward terrorists anymore as a matter of law. And you better recognize Israel's right to exist, or otherwise don't bother with us anymore.
Sean, I gotta thank you. You're one of the few people in media who doesn't let Abbas get away with this kindly uncle act. I mean, unlike Arafat, he doesn't wear a keffiyeh. He doesn't wear a handgun on his holster on his side. But as you pointed out, and you alone point out in the American media, Mahmoud Abbas funds terrorism. The Palestinian Authority is a state sponsor of terrorism. Last year, they gave approximately $300 million to both Palestinians sitting in Israeli jails because they murdered Israelis, or the families of Palestinians who died in their suicide attacks to murder Israelis and, I would add, Americans. Here's one difference between Arafat and Abbas. Arafat funded terror before the act, before the actual attack took place. Abbas funds terror after the fact. But what difference does that make? If you pay someone to kill someone, it doesn't matter if you pay them before or after. You are guilty of murder for hire. If you pay the terrorist before or after the fact, it doesn't matter. You're guilty of state sponsorship of terrorism. And as you point out, how could any peace process succeed, which would require each side to recognize the other and agree to live in peace with the other, when one of the parties to that agreement goes into the negotiations funding terror? So if Trump wants to succeed where others have failed, and every recent president has gone down this same path, if Trump wants to succeed where others have failed, he needs to take your advice. He needs to take Bibi's advice. He needs to say to Abbas tomorrow, I'll go down this path with you, but only if you stop funding terrorism tomorrow. Renounce terrorism tomorrow, not just in English words, but in Arabic words, and then indeed, and recognize Israel as a Jewish state. And recognizing Israel as a Jewish state means you're not going to recognize it as some temporary entity that you want to flood with the descendants of Palestinians. It means recognizing that Israel will continue to be a Jewish state. If and only if he does that, is there a prayer of this process getting anywhere? Otherwise, we've seen this movie before. We've been down this path before. It doesn't.
But there seems to be another opportunity that is emerging, and the picture became clearer when I was in Israel and I was up in a chopper, and I saw just how insane in terms of the size of this country is, and it borders Lebanon and Syria and Jordan and Egypt and the Mediterranean, and it's like, wow, you know. But there is an emerging alliance, and I think in many ways you can thank Barack Obama because of this ridiculous Iranian deal, and that is that now the Saudis and now the Egyptians and now the Jordanians and the Israelis are closer than they've ever been, Ami.
That's exactly right. And I think that, unfortunately for Abbas, he's coming into this meeting with a very, very weak hand, because in terms of regional priorities, the Palestinian issue is no longer high in the list of regional priorities. It's Iraq, it's Syria, it's Libya, it's all the stuff outside of what they're doing. So really what they've kind of lost their cachet within the greater Middle Eastern countries, because now Israel has developed these relationships with these Sunni states, and it's kind of elbowing the Palestinians out of the picture.
Yeah. What about the possibility? I mean, if we're really looking to make a breakthrough in the Middle East, maybe we ought to look at maybe the Saudis, maybe the Emirates. I mean, they already have deals, I guess, with Jordan and Egypt, but maybe a new alliance that shows that the Sunni Arab nations no longer view Israel as the enemy they once did. What do you think of that possibility, David?
Yeah, Sean, I think that's the future. I mean, the future is getting beyond the ideological orthodoxies that have led us constantly to failure and focusing on the reality in the region. And President Trump is a pragmatist, so I think he's the right man for these times. Let's focus on the fact that thanks to the Obama administration, Iran is now freshly funded and empowered and emboldened to pursue its regional hegemony and the destruction of the little Satan Israel and the big Satan in the U.S. Let's bring together countries that are worried about Iran, and rightly so, into an alliance. And while we're at it, let's work with those Palestinians who are turning Ramallah and other Palestinian cities into real up-and-coming, developing cities. Let's work with Palestinians who want to build lives and build businesses and stop working with these terrorists who do nothing but line their pockets and hold their people back. That is the basis for a real coalition and a real movement that could bring hope to the people of the Middle East.
Unbelievable. All right, stay right there. We'll take a quick break. News roundup, information overload. In the final half hour of the program, we will get to your calls or toll-free number 800-941-SHAWN. As we continue, Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority will be meeting with the president tomorrow. And I know the president would like to negotiate a peace deal with the Israelis and the Palestinians, but I don't think that can happen as long as the Palestinian Authority has laws that pays terrorists that kill Americans and Israelis. They literally stipend them and stipend their family, and to the tune of about $300 million a year. That's taxpayer money going to fund terrorists and reward their families. It's insanity. And we continue with David Brog, author of Reclaiming Israel's History, Roots, Rights, and the Struggle for Peace. Ami Horowitz, political documentarian, who not that long ago infiltrated Hamas. They had no idea you were infiltrating them?
No. So I go in with a certain cover story. So my cover story is I am a self-hating Jew who hates America, and they love that guy. That guy always has no problem getting into places. And they open up to you, and they tell you what the reality is. And here's the reality. The reality is they have, and this is what he told to me on camera, zero interest in peace, as long as peace includes all of Israel. You know, when you travel, and you've been, I'm not sure if you've been to the West Bank, but if you travel to the West Bank and you go to the offices of any kind of Palestinian official, a college professor, doesn't matter who it is, they all share the same accoutrement. And that accoutrement is they have a picture and it says Palestine, and that picture is all of Israel. It's not the West Bank and Gaza. It is Beersheba, it is Tel Aviv, it is Haifa, it is Jerusalem. They have been taught, the mother's milk is that one day we will go back and take all of Israel. And that's the bottom line. That's why it's going to be hard negotiating kind of deal, because this is what they've been taught from the beginning.
That's unbelievable. All right, so that's a big part of it, the indoctrination of children. We've got videos of this. We played them on TV. We played them here on radio, where, you know, you have kids out there, you know, saying, stab the Jews. That was one of the tapes I showed the Prime Minister of Israel when I was over in Israel. David?
Yeah, I saw your clip with the Prime Minister, and I thought it was critical that you showed those videos, because most Americans detached from this and hearing about only in the English language, they get the sense of a nice guy who wants peace. He seems just like us. He must want what we want, and therefore it's easy. What always happens is it's Lucy in the football. We start this process. Israel offers, has repeatedly offered the Palestinians everything they say they want. Israel has offered the Palestinians a state in almost all of the West Bank, Gaza, half of Jerusalem, and the Palestinians turn it down repeatedly. And yet somehow Israel gets blamed. When you show those videos, when you show the way that Abbas and his people and his media speak to their own people, the way they glorify terror and teach terror, and as you note, the way they pay for terror, you start to understand what the real barrier to peace in the Middle East is and has always been. And that's that the Palestinian leadership rejects the existence of a Jewish state in any size, shape, or form in the Middle East. When I tell that to my friends, they think I'm exaggerating, but I walk them through the five times. Five times. Israel's offered the Palestinians a state in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, and the five times they've turned it down. We're talking 1937, 1947, 1967, 2000, and 2008. There's a pattern here, and when you learn the pattern, you realize where the blame lay. If this is going to get any different outcome this time around, something's got to change. And the only way something's going to change is if President Trump recognizes these realities and insists at the get-go, there will be no negotiations until there's a renunciation of terror in word and deed and a recognition of Israel.
I agree. We'll give crazy Ami Horowitz the last word.
Listen, the only last word I can say is, and I don't think I have to say it, I think the president knows this, he cannot be fooled by this narrative that Abbas is going to, these lies that Abbas is going to tell him, that there's no freedom of movement, there is no dignity for the Palestinians. In this video that I went to, we traveled throughout the entire West Bank in a Palestinian car, Palestinian driver never got stopped. It's a lie, and I hope the president, I'm sure he does, will have the backbone to stand up to those lies.
All right, thank you both for being with us. Appreciate it. David Brog and Ami Horowitz. And Ami, what's your website so people can actually see these crazy videos of yours? And I'm not just kidding you, because they're really gutsy of you to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put them up on Hannity.com now. We'll make it easy.
No hate, no fear. Immigrants are welcome here.
We want to make sure that there's not
corporations out there supporting the Trump agenda.
Here marching and being loud and visible, because we're not going to go back in the shadows. We're actually going to fight, because this is the country we love and we want to make it better.
It just seems like a constitutional right to me that children deserve to have their parents raise them.
We're here in front of a gate that will block buses that deport people from this here sanctuary city of San Francisco.
The Portland police advise family and children to leave the area expeditiously.
To be a joke, I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fix this right now. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance.
Yes, the snowflakes out in full force. 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program? Wow, pretty crazy. Then the May Day riots and madness that took place, where was it, in Portland, Oregon. I mean, I got all that videotape tonight. I mean, this is as nutty and as insane as the left has ever been in my entire life. I don't even know what to make of it anymore. All right, let's get back to our busy telephones here as we say hi to Janet is in Boca Raton, Florida. Next on the Sean Hannity Show. Janet, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Oh my God, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so honored to speak to you because you're really such a real person.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate it. You're making me feel good. It's been a busy, busy few weeks around here.
I know. I don't know how you take so many bullets. I really don't. I don't know how you do it. I swear to God.
Oh,
but anyway,
my God.
I'm so concerned about your future because, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, you can't speak, you know, as a conservative because they want to kill you. Yeah.
You know,
it's insane. I mean, listen,
I'm not going to lie to you. There absolutely, positively is a well-funded, well-organized effort to destroy all, and in fairness, it's not only me, but they're just now fixated on me because of the Fox News channel right now, and they smell blood in the water. That's all it is. And
Are you going to make your own show? I'm seeing things on Facebook that, you know, maybe you'll have your own network, and, I mean, that would be awesome if you could do that. I mean, I don't know, but it's sick.
You know, it really, let me just agree with you. It really, really is sick in a lot of ways in this sense. It's sick that so many people on the left don't appreciate freedom of speech. Now, I mean, there's been a lot of reports that I'm negotiating an exit from the Fox News channel. As I tweeted out last night, that is not true. And it's look, I always have understood this. This is sort of just not stated. It's an honor to be here every day. And, you know, like everybody else, I've got bosses. And I've got people that sign my paycheck, but I also have contracts. You know, it's a little bit different than maybe a lot of other people's jobs or my past jobs. I'm not worried about me at all, Janet. You know what I am worried about? I'm worried about a country where liberal fascists want to, you know, pay money and silence conservative voices. That's scary to me, where not a single liberal speaks out about silencing conservatives either on radio, on TV, on college campuses, because they're all a bunch of phony, hypocritical liars. That bothers me.
I mean, look at that. I mean, that would have been such an awesome.
Exactly.
For her to go to these universities and have these students see another side of life instead of these professors. I mean, are they all brainwashed? Could it be? I had my own mind when I was young, in my younger day. I mean, are they that stupid? What are they afraid of? I mean, they're going to lose their scholarships. I don't get it. I am sick to my stomach because if you leave, I mean, one of my other favorite people at 8 o'clock, you know, is gone. What is going to happen with us? I mean, why can't people fight as much as the liberals are fighting? Where the hell are these people? people. What is going on?
You know, I've got to address this because I hear, first of all, I love your passion. I love your support. I can't thank you enough. But I can't sit here and reassure you everything's okay.
So that's going to be very sad for me.
Don't give up yet. Now, listen, there's a reason. There's actually a number of reasons. I have recently hired three killer attorneys to work on my behalf about the smearing, the lying, the sabotaging, the slander that has gone on against me, media complicity, and that means tortious interference, libel, slander, defamation. I've said all of this on Twitter, and I am fighting hard and, to be honest, spending a lot of money, and I'm thankful that I can, to make sure that I'm just standing up for what's right. That's all I'm doing here. And it's not any more complicated than that. And I'm standing up and defending myself. I am naturally a fighter. I don't give up. They don't bother me, any of these people. I'm not a warrior. I don't go home and say, oh, woe is me. What am I going to do? I'm not a crier. And I just, the way I respond to, how do I say it? Let's say threats, in a way. I mean, in a roundabout way, it's a threat. Baseless attacks, let's put it that way, is that my instinct is to fight. And my instinct is to just keep you in the loop and let you know the truth. And I know, it's kind of sad when you have to tell your family and your son and your daughter and my poor innocent niece in Houston. Thank God I'm going to see her Friday. She is, like, losing it over a poor Uncle Sean. And I'm like, all right, you got to understand, I've dealt with this 30 years, but not at this level. So you let not your heart be troubled. Janet, I am going to fight every day. I think this is basically comes down to politics, and it comes down to the left not wanting any voices that support the president. Otherwise, they would be out there saying, you know what, leave these conservatives alone. Stop paying to tape them. Stop paying to sabotage them. Stop attacking their advertisers, just a roundabout way of ending their show and putting them in jeopardy. But, I'm not looking to the left for help. I don't expect them to be intellectually honest. And I see them for what they're at. Where's anybody at NBC, MSNBC? Really? Because I'm telling them, if it can happen to a conservative, it can also happen to them. Anyway, Janet, God bless you. And you hang in there, okay? You
Thank
promise?
You.
You hang a happy Mother's Day. And I'm going to send
you
a little gift for being so nice, okay? Stay right there.
Oh, thank you so much. It's not necessary. I'm just such a fan. You know, when you speak the truth and you have passion, I mean, it's just so sad.
Listen, I love you for being so kind. I really do. And you're a reminder of why I need to do what I'm doing every day and fight for what we're fighting for. You let not your heart be troubled. Stay on hold. Don't go anywhere. Frank, what a wonderful, sweet lady. Doesn't that make you want to fight harder? It makes me want to fight harder. Frank is next on the Sean Hannity Show. What's going on, Frank? How are you? Glad you called.
I'm doing great. Just one of the quiet people that don't go out in the streets and...
A normal American.
Yeah, we just go to work, do our jobs, and go home. But
you mean make the country great?
We hear you, and we're on your side.
I really feel. I will tell you this: in the midst of difficulties, you see real goodness come out of people, and I'll be honest, it's humbling because I don't feel. I'm very Irish Catholic. I don't feel I deserve the kindness and love and support I'm getting.
Well, that kind of brings me to my next question. And the reason I'm asking is because you're really a proud person. You worked really hard during your life. You've done well. And I was wondering, is it okay if we do like a GoFundMe or something like that?
No. That's not why I mentioned this. This is my fight. I'm going to take care of it. It's the right thing to do. I've been blessed way beyond what I think I deserve. Although, actually, lately, I don't really think so. I think I'm actually underpaid for the first time in my life. But it's my great pleasure to fight. Listen, You know, so many people said nice things about me after the election. Hannity, I don't know, you did this. We could. It's not me at all. It's us. It's, you know, all those people that went out to the polls, all the people that showed up at the rallies and created this momentum, and all the people that chanted "Lock her up" and "CNN sucks." You know, they all made this happen.
But there's another point.
And we're all, you know what, we're all spoken a wheel.
Every army has a general and a colonel and a lieutenant and people who take charge and help us see the reality of what's going on. And that's you. You're there to help cut through all the clutter. You're there to get to the truth. And I've never heard you say anything that's not true.
I try to be factual and give you news and information that you won't get anywhere else. I spoke to a group of attorneys this morning in New York, and half of them were liberal. And I will tell you, one guy couldn't shut up. I'm like, just shut up. At one point, I said, just shut up. I'm trying, you know, we're trying. Can you let me talk? I said, when you get your own radio TV show and you're a best-selling author, then you have the mic, and I'll sit and listen respectfully. And he just, at different times, I just said, will you finally shut up? You're annoying. And so I just see what's going on. And the one thing I'm going to be is honest with you. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening, keep you in the loop. I don't see general. I see foot soldier. I see a guy that, you know, I'm an infantryman. I'm a spoke in a wheel. We're all spokes in a wheel. Anybody's the general in terms of hopefully changing the country for the better right now is the president. And I give all due honor and respect to the office of the presidency. And that I pray for his success for our kids and grandkids and for the 95 million Americans out of work and the 50 million in poverty and the 50 million on food stamps and our kids that we've robbed blind. That's what I care about. That's really all I care about. Anyway, appreciate it. You're very kind, Frank. Thank you. God bless you, too. And stay on the line. We'll give you a gift. Don in Lake Ronkonkoma. Don, hi. How are you? And welcome aboard, sir. You're always aboard. Welcome aboard the USS Hannity.
Hey, Sean. I would be remiss if I didn't echo up your last guest and Janet, too. You know, our friendship goes back so many years. And, I know what you're going through. And it's I just want you to know I'm really on your side, and I support everything you do.
Don, you don't even have to tell me that. You have been a friend of this show since day one.
Before you went national.
Well, way before I went national.
Yeah.
And you have been an extraordinary friend, and I appreciate it more than you know. You've been amazing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, but another thing, besides the trouble with Fox and everything else, this $1 trillion budget has me reeling with disbelief. You know, it's just such a disgrace. I wish Congress had stayed on vacation after they put this thing out.
It's so disappointing and disheartening, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't believe that they thought the optics of this budget deal would be favorable to Trump and Republicans. And if there is any items, Sean, that are favorable, how are we going to know about it? You know, there's a history of GOP leadership avoiding talk radio, and especially your show. I mean, Ryan will come on once in a while, but you almost don't know where he's coming from.
You know, he speaks such a good game. When I went down to D.C., 200 days. Oh, yeah, we have a consensus plan. Oh, yeah, this, oh, yeah. It's so
what this budget reminds me of, Sean? It's like having an unwelcome house guest who should have left 8 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Who's feeding off your generosity. Your roof is leaking. Your oil burner needs to be replaced. Your car is not dependable. And your house guest wants you to budget money to invest in a Blockbuster video store.
Wow. Great analogies there, Don and Lake Ronkonkoma.
We could have done so much better.
Yeah, you know, we really could. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way, shape, matter, or form. I mean, it's like an opportunity blown and wasted.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. God bless you. Listen, appreciate it. Thanks to everybody. And, I'm on Hannity tonight. I think I have a message for the media tonight. I'm going to give them a statement. Maybe tonight. I'm thinking about it. Hey, listen, if you haven't heard me talking about the USCCA, well, you need to know about these folks. They are truly changing the game if you're like me and you are a responsible gun owner. And they prepare you for everything that comes before, during, after. God forbid you're ever involved in a self-defense incident. Now, they're my latest discovery when it comes to firearms, education, safety, training, and self-defense insurance. And they also want to do something really cool, and that is give away 10, $1,500 prizes to Hannity listeners, responsible gun owners, so you can get the gun of your dreams, whatever it happens to be, whatever's on your bucket list. Now, just visit defendfamily.com so you can enter and win. It's as simple as that. Don't miss your chance. Take home the gun of your dreams, $1,500, completely free. It all ends on May the 31st at midnight. Just go to defendfamily.com and get your name on the entry list. See official rules. They'll pick 10 lucky winners and check out their membership program. There is truly nothing else out there like it. You need to protect yourself as a believer in the Second Amendment. Defendfamily.com. Defendfamily.com. We'll take a quick break. We got an awesome Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel as we're joined. Laura Ingraham will join us. Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan will join us. Jay Sekulow and David Limbaugh tonight. Great lineup and an opening monologue that the media probably will hate and Republicans in Congress will hate. 10 Eastern.